could be wrong, but I truly believe that there are way more of our thought process, our mindset, you know, in younger generations too. I think that they're afraid to speak out. I think that they're afraid to.
And rightfully so, given what's 100%, happening. 100%.
I mean, yeah. I don't fault anyone for that. And I do believe that that voice is actually stronger and louder. It just needs to be amplified. Yeah. You know,
I see that a lot. To do that. And that's what we hope to do with Mom Army, is creating a platform for people to feel safer to speak up, for people to find unity, right? Mm-hmm. Because you'll be more inspired to speak up if you know you're not alone.
She's truly a breath of fresh air. Tracy ignites dreams. And when you walk away from a meeting with Tracy Martin, you walk away with what I call a ripple effect.
And the type of energy that was radiating from her was like a ripple effect. I never met someone like her before, and I knew that her intentions were pure, and she spoke nothing but the truth.
I couldn't imagine, honestly, anybody else who I've ever met in my life being as helpful as Tracy's been towards me and the rest of my family.
Whatever problem you've got, however dark it may be, there is no judgment, there is no finger pointing, there is only healing.
Check in with Tracy. Do the work. You got this.
Welcome to the TLM Method Podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Martin. This podcast exists to amplify the voices of Gen Z and those that are creating change in the world, to call parents to action in raising healthy, whole young adults, and to counteract the current cultural narrative that is giving you permission and at times encouraging you to live an immoral and mediocre life. I'm not calling you out. I'm calling you to action in your own life. A few years ago, a friend of mine said to me, "Hey T, you're the stone that's thrown in the water, and the clients that you work with and the people that hear you speak are the ripple effect that go out and create change in the world. That's what I'm doing. I'm calling you to action and calling you to create your own ripple effect of change." Hello and welcome back to the TLM Method Podcast. I'm your host, Tracy, and I am so excited because we have someone in studio today, which I am tired of talking by myself. Usually happens, I'm in here by myself. So we have Seek Smith in here from Mom Army. And, you know, when I first found this organization, it was really important to me to, number one, find out more resources and people that are dealing with things, as well as we all know that the world is just kind of maybe a little batshit crazy. But really trying to get information and valuable information. So I am going to hand the mic over to Seek and just let her give us a little bit of background on herself, and then we're going to dive into the mission of Mom Army.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for having me and giving me the opportunity to share. So I'm excited.
Good, good. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about you. Just, we started talking a little bit before the show started, but just tell me a little bit about your background and kind of how you got here.
Yeah. So I'll start from the very beginning because it actually has a big tie-in to what I do. But I was telling you earlier that my dad escaped genocide and communism in Cambodia in the 70s. And then we immigrated to Los Angeles, which is where I grew up and went to public school. But I grew up very poor. My parents, unfortunately, aren't the success immigrant story that you hear a lot about. They were very reliant on the system and the government. So I grew up on welfare and food stamps. I grew up in the projects in South LA in the 90s.
Oh my gosh.
During the height of the gang wars between the Bloods and the Crips. So that's, I'll give you that backdrop. And then, you know, I just kind of found my way. I was very, very much an independent thinker for as long as I can remember. I was the kind of kid who was like, "What, you're doing this because you're being peer pressure? Oh, I'll do the complete opposite."
Totally.
So I'm a rebel by nature. It's like, if everybody does this, I'm going to do something completely different. And so that's kind of how I operated and navigated life. And it has served me well, actually, when I really think back to my journey. And, you know, very early on, I remember wanting to bust myself out of the neighborhood school that I was in. Everyone was going to the same middle school. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. So at 11 years old, I grabbed a form and I filled out this form to bust myself out of the school that I was going to. And my mom and dad, who doesn't speak a lick of English, I was like, "Hey, can you sign this for me?"
Oh my gosh, they signed it.
And I think what that did for me at the time when I look back is that my parents were very trusting of me and allowed me to make decisions. Mm-hmm. I have a 12-year-old. I mean, my God, she has to come through me for all, you know. But my parents, interestingly enough, were very trusting and letting me make a lot of decisions at a very early age.
And I think it was different back then, though.
Very different, absolutely. Yeah. But I think what that did in turn was give me the confidence to trust myself.
Yeah.
And so I think that gave me the foundation of kind of how I navigated some really tough parts of my like adolescent years and my childhood and stuff. So that's a little bit of the beginning of my stories. I ended up going to Crenshaw High School in South LA, and I met my husband there. So I'm married to my high school sweetheart.
Nice.
We have three incredible human beings for children who have, you know, their own independent thinking. And so I have two adult sons and my daughter's 12. So it's really interesting to have kids at such a big gap,
yeah,
considering everything that's happening around us when it comes to children. So having a 24-year-old and a 12-year-old and seeing the change in 12 years.
It's crazy, isn't
it's
it?
It's pretty crazy to, the way I raised her is so different from the way I raised him.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the things that comes up in the coaching studio all the time is that, well, they were all raised under the same roof, so they should get mm-hmm. the same message. I'm like, no, because you didn't parent them the same.
No.
You know, and the world is, and the culture is completely different. Mm-hmm. I mean, you take someone in high school today and you put them back in high school in the 90s. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be culture shock for them.
Yeah.
And so tell me a little bit why you guys started Mom Army. Like, mm-hmm. what is the mission and what's it all about?
Yeah. So for about going on 13, 14 years now, I've been very involved in the issue of child sex trafficking. So I started getting involved with that, you know, about 13, 14 years ago. And so fast forward to now and raising a 12-year-old, there was, I would say like earlier in 2022, it was this moment where I was feeling overwhelmed, you know. And even though being in this space and understanding a lot of the issues, it started to get this feeling of like, oh my God, there's this systematic attack on children.
Right.
Feels so overwhelming. It's like it's coming from every direction. Every institution is coming after our children. The education system, the entertainment industry, big tech, social media, I mean, you name it. I mean, no matter what part of society you're looking at, you're like, what's happening?
Yeah.
And so I was feeling it like in my body. And I was like, I'm pretty easygoing. I don't get very stressed very easily.
But I think you're aware.
I was super
which is different than a lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah. So in that moment, I remember we were in the driveway, we were heading out to dinner or something. And I said to my husband, I'm like, oh my God, there's a literal war on our children. What do we do? How do we fight this? And he casually says to me, he goes, you know, you work with some incredible people. I do healing retreat for survivors. I've done all sorts of stuff. I've done protests in Hollywood for Save the Children. I mean, you name it. My activism kind of expands so many different areas. And he said, you know what you guys need? You guys need a Million Mom March. So he kind of threw this little phrase out. And so the light bulb went out, and I'm like, yeah, we need to be more unified. We need to get louder. We can't be on our own little islands fighting this because it's not as effective as if we all came together.
Definitely not.
So that was the idea that was planted in my head, and I started making phone calls. I started calling people that I was already working with. Then I started calling just people who I admired from afar on social media. So one of the people I reached out to early on was Landon Starbuck, in Tennessee, and I told her about the idea of coming together, and she's like, I love this. And so we launched on August 8th just as an Instagram page, and it was Million Outrage Moms, and I had everybody send me photos, and we did a black and white, you know, photo with the logo, and everybody launched on August 8th. And then the message started to get out.
No, this is 2021?
2022.
Oh,
so just five months ago.
Good.
And it really stuck. People were like, what's this Million Outrage Mom thing? And, you know, and it was very clear at the very beginning, our mission has always been to protect children and their innocence. That's a lot.
I like that you add the innocence part because it goes so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was really the mission, was like, how do we preserve the innocence of children? Because we were losing that so rapidly. I mean,
so
quickly. From the gender ideology stuff to the porn stuff that's in the schools and the books and the, you know, the drag queen show. I mean, you just
hypersexualization.
Go, everything is so hypersexual. And, you know, I have a 12-year-old who still sleeps with teddy bears. Mm-hmm. I love that about her. I love that she can still come and hug me and want to sit on my lap. And she's crocheting. She's doing art. And she's, like, using her hands for stuff. And that is so important because at that age, the developmental process of how they intake information, how they navigate, like, especially their, you know, preteen years.
Right.
So vital, right?
Yeah, it is.
And if you put too much on them that they can't comprehend or they really can't cope with, it really wrecks their nervous system, mm-hmm. you know. So anyway, I mean, that's all like brain study and, you know, wiring of the brain and everything. But anyway, so that's how it started. But the mission has always been very clear from the beginning. It was like, here are all these issues affecting children. How do we come together to fight this? And that's how it started. And, you know, fast forward 5 months later, we're forming 25 chapters across the country.
I was going to say, I was looking at that. I was doing some research, and you guys have quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think people are just ready, right?
Yeah.
They're seeing what's going on around them. They're looking for a place where they can use their voice, where they can activate and do more. I think people are so frustrated. They're like, I can't sit by and be silent anymore.
No, and giving people an outlet or a resource or whatever you want to say, I think in today's world is because everybody's a keyboard warrior. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody gets on there and they post stuff, they share stuff, which is great.
Which is great. We need that.
Yeah, keep doing that. Mm-hmm. But then there's the people that are willing to do the boots on the ground.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the change happens. Because on the other side of this, I mean, they're on the ground. They're out there. I mean, they're doing all these things.
Heavily funded. Organized.
100%. Mm-hmm. And because there's a premeditated agenda to it, we're in the area of reacting, mm-hmm. or I like to say responding, and to something that's been put in place for a very, very, very long time. Right. And, you know, one of the things I did a podcast a while ago because I had some moms ask me just with the coaching that I do, you know, how do we get here sexually? And I'm like, well, go back and listen to the podcast on Alfred Kinsey. Mm-hmm. I said, because and people were like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
And I said, so you have to look at and the other thing, too, do you find that it's really hard for people to comprehend the nefarious part of this? Mm-hmm. Because it's like you have a school that's sending out progressive, you know, information about sex and their bodies and mm-hmm. biology. But yet, where does the line blur to where it becomes nefarious?
What
do people say to you about that?
You know, it's really interesting. It depends where people are on their journey of coming to this information and the awakening of it.
True.
The more recent people are like, you know, we find that some of the, and when I say moms, I use it loosely. We have people in our group that are not moms.
Right.
They're protectors of children and they're warriors for children. But they come to it from different aspects, right? Some people, something sparks the awakening, right? And then they'll do a deep dive and they go down the rabbit hole.
Yes.
So those people start to do research and they find Alfred Kinsey and they find, you know, a lot of these very nefarious characters throughout, you know,
our history.
And then they start to connect the dots. Then there's the people who are just like, why would they do that?
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so you're in this kind of disbelief phase where it's like, well, it doesn't make any sense. Why would they do that? And until you really start to do the research and mm-hmm. you realize, like, there's a system in place that has been after our children for a very long time. If you think about the education system in general, it's not created to build entrepreneurs or free thinkers.
Industrial Revolution.
It's an industrial revolution. They wanted to create workers, rule followers. Think about it. You're at school, you're standing in line, the bell rings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in an assembly line, right, the bell rings for lunch. And, you know, it's very similar. And if you look at the psychology of it, you know, the education system is not made for free thinkers.
No.
Yeah.
No, and if you do, then we just want to medicate you because we can't keep you in line.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
control.
And totally. And you know, it's interesting. So I'm like you talked about brain stuff earlier. I'm also a licensed brain health trainer, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the brain study of it because that's where I think families struggle, you know, with the parents are seeing what's coming at their kids. And then we have, like, I have coach young men. So the young men are like, well, they're totally sucked into the pornography. They're sucked into the legalized weed. And I'm like, why do you think that is, you guys?
Mm-hmm.
It's because you're our brilliant, our best, and the minds that we need our young men today.
Right.
You know, we need them. And so I go, years ago, they used to send them off to war.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's not the case anymore. And even then, there was propaganda dropped with pornography and the sexuality. Because when you rewire a young man's mind about sex, you lose him.
Mm-hmm.
You do lose him.
Yeah.
So what do you think the connection is that people... Where do you think they have a hard time with the connecting of this is actually coming after my kids and this is just progressive trying to teach them younger?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see the line blurred there?
Well, the line blurs in so many ways. I mean, I'm glad you brought up the porn stuff because that's something I have come to more recently. You know, it's like you can only absorb so much information, right?
Yes.
And I have to do some deep dives to myself or what I call crash courses, right?
Yeah.
And so like the gender ideology stuff, that's a little new to me. But I've been so fortunate because within our network of our coalition partners, we have partners like Our Duty, who is a parent support group for parents whose children have detransitioned.
Okay.
So I work a lot with Erin Friday and her group. And, you know, and the connection between the porn and the desensitizing of our youth, as well as, you know, the over-secularization, it's like a combination of all of those things really starts to, you know, like peel back, right, the people's ability to really make clear decisions for themselves.
Yeah. Well, their minds have been altered at that point because it's proven their brain can't process these images. And I think it was Jordan Peterson that actually said that the young men today see more pornography images faster than men in history combined.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. So you look at a young
Even my generation, like, you know, yeah. I was in high school in the 90s, and, you know, I think about my husband, like, he probably, like, found a Playboy magazine
right.
that was, like, in plastic wrap in the back of the newsstand or something, right?
Well, you were kind of looked down upon if you yeah. went to buy it.
Exactly, you know? Right? Or, you know, so it was a lot more, like, children were more protected.
Yes.
Now it's, like, the access to social media and the internet, that I think that's the danger that we are just now coming to terms mm-hmm. as a society. We didn't think it was harmful. It's like, right. oh, it's, you know, it's in the information age.
Yeah.
Right? But not understanding the necessary mechanisms that we have to put in place and the barriers that we need to protect children and their innocence, right? I think
right.
the innocence part keeps coming up.
Well, don't you think there's a compass, too, that's kind of offset with so much of this whenever you're talking about, like, the information age?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like information is a tool,
yeah.
right, when it's used properly. Then you go back and you look at what's the health of the person that's using the tool.
Right.
So the social media part of it. So if you have an altered mind already,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you put them on social media and then there's no guardrails there.
Yeah.
And parents, I always laugh at parents when they say, well, but I have the parental controls. I said, these kids are so smart.
Yeah.
They'll go right around all that. And you yeah. give them, when you give them this, you give them a drug.
Yeah.
You do.
Well, you can do the parental control, which we do with my daughter too, but they also have friends who have access to their phones.
Exactly.
And they can, you know, so you do as much protection as you can, but more importantly is the values you instill in your children.
That's how I'm about the compass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. And, you know, for me, you know, raising two young men in Los Angeles in a very progressive city and state, and they went to public schools, but we were very intentional about how we raised them, you know, in the home.
Right.
You know, and that has kept them very grounded. You know, and what is important is the family unit. And they've been attacking the family unit for a very long time.
Very
and that's
long time.
Another part of why they're so effective is they're breaking down the family unit,
yeah.
you know.
Well, and I think even like the messaging, like even when I speak, it's like that, we talk about families and everybody goes, well, families look differently. I go, they do, but you still have a core nucleus mm-hmm. of a family.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, we have blended families, divorced families, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But there still is that core part
values.
Of the family and the values and I mean even like a mission statement of your family mm-hmm. or whatever, and that's the compass I was talking about, to where, you know, you get so far, like years ago, decades ago, like our parents were like, Elvis is bad.
Yeah.
you know?
Right.
You know?
Right.
What were we thinking?
Wouldn't
you
it
know?
Be nice to just go back to the days when Elvis was a bad influence?
Exactly, exactly. And that's where you want to go, gosh, fast forward, if we don't put the brakes on here,
yeah.
where will we be?
Well, it's a culture war, right? I mean, it's, you know, when we say it's our hashtag is Stop the War on Children, right? It's a culture war. It's a spiritual war. You know, clearly for those of us that are in this fight, it's like there's good and evil.
Right.
But now it's flipped. You know, people are turning what's evil good and what's good evil.
Yes.
You know, and so we're having this very confused state and chaotic time and place in
which comes from evil.
Yeah.
I mean the chaos and the, you know, there's a biblical term, I don't know if you heard about the reprobate mind.
Yeah, so I grew up Buddhist, so I, you know,
okay.
when people share biblical, I'm fascinated by every religion.
Well, it was
so.
Crazy because the reprobate mind, it reminds me of where we are today, because
mm-hmm.
I started really doing some deep dives with some of the kids I work with and some of the things that they're dealing with in families and parents and trying to connect those back. And because coaching is very different. It's not like therapy and counseling. We actually communicate parents to kids to families to bring everyone together, not isolate the person
yeah.
that's being treated.
You're looking at this holistically.
Holistically.
Yeah.
And so there's, we start talking about this reprobate mind, and it's a biblical term on basically you're so far gone mentally and you have no remorse, you have no moral compass, nothing. The only thing that will bring you back will be the gospel or will be something that can take you, which you perceive as truth.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to dig, and no matter the modality of it, you know, whether it's Buddhism or where it is, it's like the
yeah.
modality of that has to have that core message of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when you look at the chaos and the confusion
yeah.
and the evil, and even with our young kids who actually think that men can have babies now,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like, and then you have some crazy person sitting in a college campus going, well, I'm a female, but I don't have a womb. I'm like,
yeah, you
do.
So we don't even, you know, this is what I say, like, there was a time where we all had, like, this unspoken rule, like
mm-hmm.
decency, right? And all of that's out the window,
yeah.
you know? It's like, when you're having a debate with somebody who absolutely thinks it's a good thing to take a child to an over-sexualized drag show,
right?
Right? And you just can't comprehend it. You're like, well, why would you take your 3-year-old or your 4-year-old to an adult performance entertainment where dollar bills are being thrown at them? You wouldn't take them to a strip club.
Exactly.
But you take them to a drag show because you want to be inclusive, right? They use these terminologies.
Tolerate.
And they change definitions of words, right? So that's even more confusing because we don't come to the same truth, right? The truth is the truth, right? There was a time where all we can agree on the truth. But now it's like there's your truth and my truth. And
right.
So we're in a state of like total confusion around these things because we can't come to an agreement on basic facts.
So what does a mom's army like it? Like if you put together like an event or something, like what does that look like?
So we have, you know, in looking back, it's so interesting because the year wrapped up and we looked back at the last 5 months and things just kind of exploded on us.
In a good way.
In a really good way, because what's happening is people want direction. They want to find a way to get involved. They want to get into the battle, is what I call it, because until we treat this like it's a war, we're not going to win, right? And it's really interesting because my background's in like event planning and branding and marketing. I come from that background. So the Mom Army was like a fun way for me to present how we can build this community together. And it was taking that literal term of this as being a war. So I'm like, but we can have fun doing this.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be such a dark place because a lot of heavy information is coming at us, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to children and trafficking and sexual abuse. But what if we could do this in a way where we can protect our energy, our hearts, our souls, and our minds, and do it in a way where we're building community and we're building, you know, sisterhood and a camaraderie to fight this in a way that that brings joy to our lives? Because if you don't function on a regular basis and you're consumed by all this darkness, you're no good, right?
Right,
you're
right.
No good to
yourself.
You
become part of it. It's too hard to get yourself out.
Yeah. So at the very immediate impact is your family, right? You want to make sure you're taking care of yourself so that you are the best version of yourself for your family,
right?
You know, for your kids, for your husband, for everybody in your life. And then you go outside of that to be effective and impact the world around you. And so for us, our whole mission is to build an organization where we're supporting each other. We're a survivor-led organization, so 70%, close to 70%, or if not more, of our leaders are survivors of child sex trafficking, child sexual abuse, domestic violence, other childhood traumas.
A big why.
Yeah, a lot of people in our group have a big why, and they come from a very unique perspective, right? I'm not a survivor myself, but what I see with our survivor leaders is that they don't want what happened to them to happen to other children.
Right. You become a guardian.
You become a guardian, and you want to. And the other part of our mission is to break the cycle of violence and abuse and exploitation of children. And the best way to do that is to work on yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Heal your trauma. Do all the heavy work, like the really really important work, so that you can go out into the world and serve, right?
Right.
And so I think when you find a big purpose and a big why, it really is the pathway to joy and the pathway to living a full life.
Right.
You know,
people are being disconnected from that just by way of the conversation in the world, you know, to what's your why, what do you go after, what's success to you? You know, how do you quote unquote serve? I have a lot of kids that come in and they go, well, what does it mean purposeful life? What does it mean? You know, because the schools don't teach you that. They give you an aptitude test and tell you this is your personality and this is what you're better at doing.
Yeah.
They don't figure out who you are,
right?
You know, which I think is one of the biggest things, that the identity issue and kind of kids getting lost and getting struggled and getting pushed into these situations is because they are seeking who they are.
And then the priority in education is like, I try to, with my children, it's like, I always tell them, your grades does not define your success, right? And your identity and who you are is not tied to if you get A's or B's.
In
academics, right? It's who you are as a person. And what are your gifts that God has given you? And how do you take those gifts to serve? And how do you take those gifts to live the life that brings you a lot of joy? So I always tell my kids, you should not be looking. Success looks different to everybody, right?
Totally.
Success might be a, you know, multi-million dollar home and several cars and big vacations.
The
material stuff. Success to my son is like, I want to live in a tiny home in Flagstaff and just take pictures.
Freedom.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so freedom becomes a big part of it, right? And I think the more that we can instill those identifiers, right, helping people identify their purpose and helping people find that pathway, that's what's missing. And that's why there's so much confusion, because people are not soul searching.
There's no connection, you know. Okay. I mean, we're disconnected purposefully. Mm-hmm. Even like what happened back in 2020, that was all. I mean, everything was by design, as we know. And I'm sure you guys are seeing it. I know I'm seeing it in the coaching student, the kids. I mean, they're getting their asses kicked, mm-hmm. you know. And so then you look at the families, and if the family is the structure for strength and for clarity and for guidance, you know, being able to have something like a mom's army to actually go and go, this is what we're dealing with, you guys. Yeah. Because I think people don't want to. It's like your mind can't wrap around some of the evil because you would never perpetuate that.
Yeah.
And so to understand what you're actually dealing with, because, I mean, like you said earlier about going to war, but if the warrior doesn't change, the battle won't be won.
Mm-hmm. And I, you know, you're right. Like what happened in the last few years, it has shifted so much of our thinking and the way we navigate our society. You know, there's a lot of distrust with all the institutions that have really was gaslighting us, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot of gaslight. You know, I remember fighting trafficking. I remember telling people, you know, 13 years ago, and people would look at me with their eyes glossed and go, "That's not happening."
Right.
You know that. You know, and it's like. One is just the awareness, right? Bringing the awareness and educating. And then once you do that, when you become aware, then the next step is, well, how do you activate? Do you want to stay silent? Do you want, you know? And everyone's on different parts of their journey, so I'm never here to shame or guilt anybody.
Right.
Especially with the last couple of years, people were losing their livelihoods, losing their jobs, you know, for speaking up.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those that can speak up, please do. I mean, this is the time, right?
Right.
And if you can't, there's other ways to change hearts. I mean, sometimes it's, if you're not vocal on social media, maybe it's talking to your neighbors, talking to your family members.
Right.
You know, finding what works for you and what
you're probably like me. I get people that send me stuff that they're afraid to post.
Yeah.
And then I post it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we have to help each other get the information out there the best way we know how without jeopardizing. You know, I am in a position to speak very boldly and loudly because I don't have a boss.
Yeah.
I don't work for anybody. Thank
Same.
Goodness. My husband, you know, has provided me a life to allow me to do the things that I do. And so we want to make sure we're supportive of each other at the point of our journeys.
Right.
And
right.
that's what we want to do with Mom Army. We really want to find a place for everybody. And we always say meet people where they're at. And we're a big tent organization. We don't care what religion you are. We don't care about your political leanings, your ethnic background. Like, none of it matters.
It's the kids.
Do you care about children? And
right.
if you do, we have a place for you.
And isn't that the one thing which blows my mind? The one thing that should unite everyone, I've posted things and calling out what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I get attacked. I'm like, I go, wait a minute. You're upset for me calling it out rather mm-hmm. than that it's actually happening.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
And so I always send a message back. I go, tell me what your stance is on this then. Because if I'm the one that's calling it out and showing you and exposing it,
mm-hmm.
you know, I go, and you come back at me, but yet the person that's doing it and actually violating these children and taking their innocence, you're not that upset at that. I go, that tells you something.
Yeah.
You know, that has to be an awakening. And I like when you said, you know, everyone's aware at their own moment and what their experience is, because we all live differently.
Yeah.
You know, but that should be, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
that should be the one common denominator, is to protect kids.
I mean, you would think, right? And it's unfortunate because it's become such a
politically
divisive issue. And I get DMs, you know, there's this, and, you know, I'm not trying to call anybody out, but the reason why we've created an organization that our goal is to change hearts and minds, to not talk to the people who agree with us.
Right.
And to really get the message out to people who might think a little bit different, who might see things a little bit different.
Well, that's moving the needle.
And yeah, and so for us, it's like, how can we be effective? Speaking of keyboard warriors, when we started this group, I was like, I don't want to be another keyboard warrior group. I think it's great that people are spreading
the message.
They have their place. But also the other part of too is we're censored. We're heavily censored. We're, you know, they're shutting down accounts, you know. I mean, it's so crazy to see, like, our views go down when we post certain things.
Shadow banned for certain things,
so shadow banned, like, tremendously shadow banned. And so we have to find different ways to get the message out. We can't always rely on social media. So boots on the ground is very important, and our group is that group. You know, we do leadership trainings every Saturday with our chapter leaders and anybody else who comes into our organization.
That's really important.
Yeah.
yeah.
And so we train in so many different areas, whether it's legislative policy stuff, building relationships with your local legislators. We do leadership training on empowering people and resources. And we have we build a coalition. So we have coalition partners. So we're not a nonprofit. We're an LLC.
Okay.
Because I've worked with a lot of nonprofits. There's a lot of stipulations and regulations and limitations to being a nonprofit, especially on the funding side.
Very much.
And I really wanted to build an organization that was going to be longstanding and will be here 5 years from now.
But you can actually do the work.
Where we can do the work and be self-funded. Yes. That was the other part of it, too. And so I didn't want to be an organization that goes, you know, everybody goes, remember that Mom Army group? Whatever happened to them?
You
know what I mean? And so for us, it was always very intentional to make sure that we find our pathway to success through self-funding. And so we work with a lot of nonprofits. So we partner, we have coalition partners, and we support them in different ways. So, you know, Landon of Freedom Forever, we work with them. We work with Veterans for Child Rescue, with Craig Sawyer and his team.
Yes, love that.
You know, so for us, it's like, we're not the experts in so many different areas. We're here to support the experts.
Right.
We've been, like, in the trenches.
Well, I think you're in between. You're kind of the cohesive part that we take this and we take that. Mm-hmm. And that's where there, I mean, whether people like it or not, there is a food chain of activism.
Yeah.
That, you know, some people go, well, I can do this and I can do that. Mm-hmm. And we did for, like, a year right after it happened, we opened up the space here and we called them Freedom Talks. And it was basically just getting people in because people were so disconnected and so lost. And so I'm like, you guys, I don't know what this is going to look like, but here's my space. Let's get in here. And so we talked about, we started letters to, you know, Schweikert. We started all kinds of stuff. And we had some people on board with that. And it was funny because the room was packed right after it happened. Mm-hmm. And then whenever they felt comfortable again, like, oh, okay, now it's kind of gone away a little bit, you know, and they're like, and then people were more disconnected. And I'm like, you guys don't understand, you know, this is still exactly, if not worse,
where you
were a year ago, because they felt like, oh, well, I don't see, you know, all the stuff that's going on. I'll hear about a few things here or there, you know, and I think that's where there's that misinformation that people get out there and
well,
they say
on
that.
Purpose, right?
But totally.
Media is not giving you all the information you need. If anything, they're misleading you.
Yeah.
You know, and so you don't have, you're not equipped with all the facts. And so you have to dig a little deeper. And I think an organization.
Which most people don't want to do.
No, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of work. It's a full-time job.
It is.
You know, when you're doing that kind of stuff. But when we can share the resources and the information, we can accelerate that process a little bit faster.
Right.
And that's what we hope to do at Mom Army. I mean, we're like actually revamping our website right now so that we can have a directory resource center to connect with all our coalition partners and how to get involved with them, you know, because some of our coalition partner needs volunteers or they, you know, we're trying to help them fill the gap where they need resources and things like that. And, you know, and the training is for leadership training because it's so interesting to see in the short period of time we have people in Mom Army who want to run for office.
Yeah.
You know, so we want to give them the resources.
School board
people.
Yeah,
school board. I mean, we have people who want to run for state senator. We have somebody in Los Angeles that wants to run for LA County supervisor, mayor. I mean, it's amazing to see like people rising up.
They're on fire.
They're on fire. And we want to be an organization that they can come to as a one-stop shop to find to help them on their journey to whatever it is.
Right, right.
Whether it's activism, whether it's to homeschool their children, whatever that resources they need, we want to be able to provide that for them. And so that's exciting for us to be able to build a coalition around solutions, you know.
Well, I think what you said, I like what you said a minute ago, where you said you're not necessarily talking to the people that are with you. You're actually looking outside of the box and realizing that when we can find a common ground or a commonality on what we care about, you know, what's important to us, I think that's how we can shift this. Otherwise, if you're just speaking to your group, you know, they already know. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of moms who are overwhelmed, who just like, I can't do anything. I'm just, and I think that's, I hate to see that because I want, women are powerful, you know, which leads me to what's going on with the dads.
Yeah. Yeah. We were getting messages from day one of like super supportive messages from the men who were like, I 1,000% support what you're doing. Love what you're doing. How can I help? And then we'd start getting donations. Like, the least I could do is donate to what you're doing. So but then we set up a Gifts and Go account. And then we started having, like, and then dad started saying, well, what about us? What can we do? You know? And then my husband, who had been part of other men's group, he was finding what was missing for him because he's very much an empath. You know, like my husband is like super sensitive when it comes to women and children's issue. He always says to me, he goes, I don't know how you listen to these stories day in and day out. I'm worried about your mental health and all those things because he can't. If there's a documentary about a child being trafficked, he just can't even watch that because it affects him so deep in his soul. And when he was part of these men's group, he's like, you know, I love them. They help me, you know. It's working on, you know, self-development and your career and being a father and all these things. But it was missing the purpose part for him.
Yeah.
And so that it kind of was born out of him needing to be part of a men's group that was very purpose driven and
activated.
And I knew the children and women's issue was really important to him. And so that's kind of how the whole dad army came to be. Was my husband was kind of a catalyst for that because he needed a place to have this camaraderie with other men and brotherhood, but also be very purpose driven around what they could accomplish together. And so
now, do you guys do things together or is it just like the dad's army? And
well,
then
the dad army is just taking off. It's just getting started. So right now on the dad army side, we're building the leadership team and the men that are coming together to kind of build that out. So they're going to basically take the template of mom army and start chapters eventually and those sorts of things as well. So it's exciting to see that that kind of forming on the side and people are stepping up on that front as well. Because the reason why society is so upside down right now is like the natural order of things have been completely flipped.
Yep. I always talk about that, the divine order. It's
the divine,
so
you need
true.
The masculine, right? You need the divine masculine, you need the divine feminine. We all have roles to fill.
Right.
That's not to say, I'm a very alpha female, if you want to, use that term. But there's this nice dance that we have to have between, men and women in 100%. Order to have a healthy society.
And that's interesting. Even in the coaching studio, we get into that with dating because the young girls have gotten the modern feminist message and it's completely messed their minds up. And then when we get in here, they're like, well, T, obviously you're a feminist. I go, obviously I'm not.
Yeah.
And
not
I go,
the
I go,
feminist you're talking about.
No, not what you're thinking about. Yeah. I said, but that's where they don't understand. That's their strength, though, is the divine feminine. That's the strength, right? And that's why I think women are warriors for children. Mm-hmm. We are the only
we're
ones that give birth.
By
I mean,
nature.
100%. And I think that's why it's like my husband will be right there to do whatever I need to do, but I'm the one that's in there, like you are.
Yeah.
It's like, so, and I think that's a role that's been so diluted and so spoken down.
Yeah,
and
men are protectors and providers.
Yes.
And we need to really honor that, right? And so I think what Dad Army comes into play is that here are the women, the mom army, that are the fierce warriors for children, right?
Right.
Because we, mama bear energy is just a natural part of who we are,
yes.
right? So you have that, but we need the men to protect the women as they're protecting the cubs.
Yep.
Right? So it's this... So it's this very important layers of protection that needs to take place.
Well, even just the message of that, too, Zeke, I think is really important because I don't think women, I hate the boss babe culture, all the other kind of stuff like that. It's just, it really did a lot of young women a lot of disservice.
Yep.
And, we have some of them come in and speak about it, here, just because they're at a point in time in their life where they're like, well, I did what I was supposed to do and I was is supposed to do. And now I really have this yearning in my life, and I realize that it may not happen.
Yeah.
And the fact that, there is nothing in this world that can happen without moms.
No.
Nothing. Yeah. And when you say that to, the certain groups, they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, you can have whatever delusion you want, and that's fine, but there is a natural divine order to this world for a reason.
Yeah.
And, the mom part, I think, we're like the mom army, I love the message. Not only just what you just said, protecting the kids and then the dads protecting the women that are out there, because I think seeing that in real world, not just talking about it, it changes the dynamic of what someone's understanding is, because we can have all the words and we can see it. But if you've not lived in that and actually saw that as an example in your life, it's really hard to get it.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I mean, I have a lot of women who are divorced, and I can tell when their girls come in, because the girls are like, why? I don't need a man.
Yeah.
And I go, well, who told you that? Well, my mom. Well, your mom's situation that she had, I'm sorry for that, but that's not the complete message.
Right.
And when you talk about, same thing with single moms raise weak men, and no one wants to hear that either.
I've talked a lot about that. That's actually conversations I've had for a very long time. And for a while, I kind of did it quietly.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit more vocal about it now because you can see it, And I grew up in South LA, so the single mom, dynamic was very prevalent.
You know,
my husband and I, interesting enough, we both our parents are still married to this day. And so we have different examples of how we grew up and my kids as well. But, you can teach children all the things you want to teach them, but they learn by example. They
it's
learn
through
by
osmosis.
What they witness. It's through osmosis.
Yes.
I had a really, really proud moment with my oldest son. We did a Zoom. This was a few years ago with another. I have a group called Badass Do-Gooders, and we did a Zoom.
I like that.
Yeah, and it was focused on love. It was a February thing, and my son who was on it comes on, and we asked everybody the question of, what does love mean to you, and what does love look like to you? And my son comes on, he says, well, love is my parents. They've been the example of love for me, you know, and so that was, you don't realize your kids are watching you.
Yeah, I know. I've had a few of those moments too.
Yeah, when they actually share that, you're like, oh, wait a minute, you know, they're paying attention. Mm-hmm. They're watching, you know. And how you live your life is so paramount to how they develop relationships with people and, you know, and so on and so forth. So that's important. And unfortunately, we have a society that's broken. Mm-hmm. You know, we have high rates of depression, high rates of suicide, high rates of confusion and all the things, and it's wreaking havoc, and we're witnessing it all right now.
We're witnessing the result, but I mean, if we don't course correct, mm-hmm. or at least have some sort of an influence on course correcting, yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine the workforce, you know, 10 years mm-hmm. from now. I can't even imagine, you know, where things are, because, I really do believe Gen Z and Gen Z Alpha, these kids are built for the storm. I don't know about all the demographic, but I know the kids that we work with, I know the ones that we have around around the country. I know that they see the truth of it. And I mean, what breaks my heart though is when these kids go to college, which I'm not a fan of right now. And
me neither.
You know, and they go there and they're like, well, I had to pretend to be somebody I'm not to get a good grade.
Yeah.
You know, and I go, well, the fact that you know you had to do it is one thing. Mm-hmm. The fact that you had to do it is another thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that I think, like, and even like whenever you guys are answering a call to a crisis in the world, which is very noble, which is amazing. But the fact that you have to, mm-hmm. I think that's always,
we don't
that's
like the
question.
Fact that we exist.
No.
We actually talk about that a lot. We're like, we really do not like the fact that we had to.
You have to do it.
You know, I always say, you know, you're turning ordinary moms who just want to live their life and raise their children, go on vacations,
right.
do all the things, into warriors, mm-hmm. you know. We don't have a choice.
No.
We're in a time in history where we really don't have a choice. And for me personally, the word legacy always comes up for me, because I want to live my life in a way where my kids can be proud when they talk about
right.
me, or my grandkids.
Right.
That I did something, you know, mm-hmm. that I didn't.
You didn't just watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the activation part, right? Mm-hmm. That's the part where a lot of people are unsure of, afraid to, not sure they can, you know, I mean, and they self-censor, yeah. not just what we're being censored to. I think it's a self-censorship too. Mm-hmm. Where do you think, what do you think that Mom Army, when if somebody wants to start a mom, or like get yeah. part of you, what do you think some of the core things that you guys do to serve moms that are willing to step out?
Yeah. So we have a process when you go onto our Instagram, it's the .momarmy, but in our link tree, you'll see a link that says start a battalion. So we call them battalions instead of chapters, and you're a captain of your battalion.
That.
So we use a lot of the military lingo. There's an application process, and we go through a series of questions that really tries to identify that. One of the questions is, what are the top three issues that concern you the most about children? So we want to hear from people and kind of gather the information and the data so that we're customizing each chapter based on the localized issues, you know, like what our chapter leader in Lisa in Charlotte, North Carolina, who's amazing. She's mom of 14.
Oh, my gosh.
So this is what I want to say to people, too, because a lot of times people are like, well, I'm so busy. And I mean, if you want to talk about busy people, our mom army
wow.
are some of the busiest people you ever come across. But I always use Lisa as an example. She's a mom of 14, three adopted, 11 are her own children. And she's a grandmother as well. She has a couple of grandkids. And but like when she does a protest, she just brings her whole family. And that's the protest.
It's built in.
It's built in. And she teaches. I mean, she's raising warriors,
yeah.
you know, within her family unit. But what she focuses on in North Carolina might be very different than what our chapter leader does in Los Angeles.
Right.
Right? Because
right.
you're talking about...
The call is different.
The call is different. The issues might be different. What California's fighting is very different than, say, what we're fighting here in Arizona.
Right.
And so we always want to leave the space for each group or each chapter leader to customize what's important to them, as long as it's in alignment with protecting children, right?
Right,
so
right.
that's what our focus is. So that's one way to get involved. If you feel very called and you really want to be activated, you know, we have people who are like, people have all these gifts and these skill sets, you know? Mm-hmm. Like our Nashville chapter leader, Lucy, who's also part of our team, she goes, you know, she was living in Los Angeles and she moved to Nashville, but she's a producer and, you know, she's a content creator and all these things. She's like, I have all these skill sets. I don't want to just sit at home and fold laundry.
Right.
You know,
right.
like I want to use what I've been gifted with. And so that's what's been beautiful about how everyone's coming together to build Mom Army. It's people bringing their
gifts.
That's neat. They're bringing their skills. They're bringing their talents. And it's just, it works so beautifully because everyone just wants to do what they can.
Well, they see the need and being called to that, I think that's a big thing too. Mm-hmm. And then what about like, what's like coming up for Mom Army? Like, what are you guys looking up to doing this year and things like that?
Yeah, we did a year review and we looked at all the things that we've done in the last 5 years. Like we did the nationwide Balenciaga protest. So that was a really proud moment for us as we gathered chapter leaders and other leaders from different cities. And we did 20 city protests against Balenciaga during that, all the craziness with that. We were part of AmFest, and that was really exciting to connect with, you know, with like-minded people at AmFest. And, you know, it's so wonderful that we have Turning Point here in Arizona. Yeah. It's in our backyard. And getting ready to really officially launch these chapters. We've just been kind of quietly behind the scenes building the leadership and eventually opening up the membership to everybody, who wants to be a part of these different chapters. Okay. We're still accepting applications for more battalions. I think we have 15 in the pipeline to form 15 more chapters. So we're going to go from 25, to 35 very
So can quickly. There be multiple in one state?
Yes.
Or is it one state top person and then you kind of go down?
We prefer multiple leaders in each chapter. So, for example, our Seattle chapter has like 4 leaders.
Okay.
It's a big task and people are so busy with their lives. We don't want to overwhelm one person with running a chapter. There are a lot of chapters with one leaders now, but if there are more applications coming in for the same chapter, we want to put more people in leadership positions. So that's one aspect. If you're really activated and you really want to get involved, that's one way. But there's other ways too. I mean, you can get involved online and help spread the message. That's always one of the easier things to do. Some people, they can donate, and that's great too.
Yeah.
We love that.
Whatever you can do.
Whatever you can do, right, as we're building this. But looking ahead, we just had our first team meeting for the year and kind of laying out quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, and quarter four. We're putting together what we're calling our action committees. So because the issues are so vast and there's so many things to kind of tackle, we're trying to get super organized and putting our leadership into the, child sex trafficking committee and the committee for, to fight child sexual abuse and the committee to fight the gender ideology stuff. So having some hyper-focused committees to do the work on the research, finding resources, creating content, awareness campaigns around all of those issues. That's important to us to get organized on that front. And that way people can plug in different areas if they have a specialty or they really want to focus on this particular issue.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So are you guys do you guys do your own events or do you kind of look for organizations to work with?
We do our own events. Actually, we just announced today our Spring Revival retreat. Because what's really interesting about this demographic is people in this group are serving. They're always pouring out. They're giving a lot of themselves. And that can be kind of, it's a very heavy, dark place to be.
It can be depleting.
It's very depleting, and it can be very overwhelming. And sometimes it can feel very lonely, too, right? So in this community, I really wanted to create a space where we're pouring into them and giving them the tools to really navigate this in a very healthy way.
Yeah.
And so the Spring Revival retreat is about, self-care and self-love and just really rejuvenating, and renewing
preparing.
Their efforts and preparing for battle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part of the retreat will be kind of the inspired activism and the tools you need to get out there and do the work. So that's coming up April 20th through the 23rd here in Scottsdale at Hotel Valley Ho. That's where I was at for my meeting.
Gotcha.
Just going over with the events manager and laying out the programming and everything.
Nice.
So we're very fortunate. We have some really incredible women in our network and in our group. We have Kaylee Kozak, who's on our advisory council. She's here in Arizona. She passed Kaylee's law.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working with Kaylee to help her pass her law across 50 states.
Wow.
So that's one of our missions, is to really be effective on the legislative side.
Yeah, it's needed.
We just brought on Odo Wallace. She's an actress in Los Angeles. She is working on a federal bill called the Protect Act. And this is around the blackmail of exploitation online. Where people don't have permission to use your videos and things like that. Because she was one of the actresses that got hacked with her photos
being
put out into the world and being auctioned off. And and create, yeah. And the guy went to jail for like a year. And so there's no mechanisms in place in terms of the law and enforcement on preventing these things, let alone, you know, punishing these things, but let alone preventing them from happening.
Right, right.
So Odoh is coming on board and Mom Army is helping her to get the bill. She has, Senator Mike Lee is a sponsor for her bill.
Okay.
Out of Utah. And so she's working to make this a bipartisan bill. And so we're helping her to pass that at the federal level.
That's awesome.
So there's a lot of movement on our side, a lot of things behind the scenes. It's hard. On social media, you can only share so much.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? But for us, it's like really putting our heads down, doing the work on the ground.
What do you see as one area that, because it seems like it's very, like we talked, it's very layered, mm-hmm. right? We have the school system that's, you know, messing with our kids. We have the government, the tech, the big pharma, all of it. Mm-hmm. What do you, in your opinion, from the work that you've done and what you've seen, do you see that one would have like more of an open doorway mm-hmm. to walk through versus other ones have to really like have these agendas?
Yeah.
Do you think that one is easier to get to the kids?
You know, when I think about, so this is how I look at it, right? When you're looking at the propaganda and the misinformation, the gaslighting that's happening, to the adults, mm-hmm. right? Like, we are having to weed through so much information just to get to the truth. What chance does a 12-year-old have mm-hmm. in our schools when it is coming at them and they're a captive audience?
Right.
We can turn off our phones. We can, you know, we can do all sorts. Children can't. They're sitting ducks
yeah.
in these classrooms and they're being peppered and indoctrinated, you know, eight
daily.
Hours out of the day, daily, mm-hmm. right? And I'm saying this as a public school mom. My daughter goes to public school.
Yeah.
You know, believe me, it's trying to tread, you know, she happens to like a public school. So far, so good. She knows that if anything comes up, I will pull her out in a hot second.
Yeah.
You know, to protect her. And we have very open conversations.
Well, that's the key. If she has a home to go to mm-hmm. that she can talk about this, a lot of kids maybe don't.
Yeah.
You know, or they have different views or beliefs than their parents do.
Right.
You know, because I know there's a lot of kids that talk about things in here that they see or they act, and then the parents just kind of dismiss it like mm-hmm. it's not a big deal, you know,
yeah.
but yet it changes and alters their views of themselves, their world, their relationships, mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
it's the foundation of everything, right?
It is.
I mean, here's the thing, you know, we've had a society, when I think about parenting for a very long time, parenting is like an authoritarian structure.
Right.
The parent knows better, the parent, you know.
My way or the highway.
My way or the highway, and it's very, you know, very punitive mm-hmm. when it comes to parenting.
Yeah.
I'm hoping and I'm seeing that there's a shift in the parenting of treating children as a full human being.
Mm-hmm.
They are not half of a human being. They have their own independent thoughts. We're here to help guide them and
yeah.
we're here to help teach them. And they're here to teach us.
Well, that's the key. I just did a parenting workshop
mm-hmm.
and that was the big thing was the fact that I look at my girls as my greatest teachers,
yeah.
you know, and,
exactly.
and a lot of parents, I think, either are so busy dealing with their own stuff,
right.
don't necessarily give them. And one of the big things that the kids say, too, is that they hear me, but they're not really listening,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is our growth as a parent, you
yeah.
know. But I think when you've got an organization that is geared towards, you know, protecting kids, but also equipping moms,
mm-hmm.
not just, you know, yeah, I want to come in between what's coming after the world and my kids, but also the ripple effect out of that is in their own families,
yeah.
which
yeah.
I think changes the relationship between mother and child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really do.
Yeah, it's the empowerment aspect. You know, that's another part of our core values is there's just so much. Like I'm specifically talking about the economy now, that there is all these woke companies that don't align with your values, right? So we can't continue to keep giving money to companies
no.
that hate our values. So we in turn are forced to create a parallel economy, right? And a parallel system.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, it's like we're very intentional with the companies we work with, who we partner
yep.
with, our coalitions.
Your money is your vote.
Your
for
money
what you
is your
in.
Vote. And so the other part of it too is empowering yourself to make these decisions for
mm-hmm.
for creating a new society and a new system and a new parallel economy, but also teaching your children to empower themselves. Because the last thing you want to do is create children who are easy targets to become
yeah.
victims by predators,
mm-hmm.
right? I always say raise warriors,
mm-hmm.
you know. We have this shirt that says reject, resist, raise rebels. You know, because basically if we're going to change things, we need to change it generationally.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
know?
That's why they're coming after that generation too.
Yeah.
I mean, the younger you do, and you can see it too, but I truly believe, and could be wrong, but I truly believe that there are way more of our thought process, our mindset, you know, in younger generations too. I think that they're afraid to speak out. I think that they're afraid to.
And rightfully so, given what's 100%, happening.
100%.
Right?
100%. I mean, yeah. I don't fault anyone for that. And I do believe that that voice is actually stronger and louder. It just needs to be amplified.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I see that a lot.
To do that. And that's what we hope to do with Mom Army, is creating a platform for people to feel safer to speak up, for people to find unity, right? Mm-hmm. Because you'll be more inspired to speak up if you know you're not alone.
Right. Right? Well, you have resources and backup. You know, I mean, I think that anyone that creates that, I mean, I think it's great what, honestly, and that's why when I reached out to you, it was really just finding out more about what you guys do. And then also, I think, too, like, even from the podcast and your social media and all these things that we do just to kind of as our work, it also creates a community, I think, that's not just identified as Mom Army, mm-hmm. but it really is unified people that are like, wait a minute, I can't be a part of this, but, man, I see what's going on.
Yeah.
So you're educating people. There is people that you're reaching that maybe is not part of your organization that can still change what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think, and that's why I said, you know, like the dads and, you know, and the dads are huge. You know, they're a huge part of it. Do you have any, do you have any younger kids that want to be involved in like a movement like that? Or is it all just geared towards the mom and
right
dad?
Right now it's the parents, but what we'd like to do in terms of the empowering of children is I had always had this vision of creating like a superhero summer camp kind of thing, mm-hmm. or programming things so that we can raise little warriors, so that there's a place for the younger generation to have the resources and, you know, to be empowered. So that's going to be built in, you know, at some point to be part of what we do, that it won't just be moms and dads, or that it won't just, you know, that we are going to be.
Well, the message is generational.
Reaching.
I think
that's
a big thing. And and I know I see it here with the kids that come in here. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, if you come in here, you kind of know.
I mean,
what
I
we're
just
about.
See like there's so many ways we can align and work together.
Love
you
to.
Know, and on the mission that you're on and the mission that we're on is super aligned. It's just.
Yeah.
You know, connecting the dots and figuring out like how we can help support each other. So I think that's important. That's a big message of ours, because what I've been seeing is a lot of people were doing work in their own little islands, which
right.
is great.
Right.
Right. But we can become a louder voice, and we can be more effective when we lock arms and work together. We don't have to agree 100%. And the other thing I tell people too is like, if Mom Army is not the place for you and you're not quite aligned with us, because we're a rebel rouser kind of group. We're,
totally.
Yeah.
You're my kind of people.
Yeah. And, you know, but if you're, but there's so many other groups doing amazing work out there too. And if they are more aligned with them, please go lock arms with those groups. I mean, there's Moms for Liberty, Moms for America out there.
Yeah.
I was part, you know, I am part of Arizona Women of Action.
Yep.
So there's so many groups just.
Do something.
Somebody.
Yeah. And because I think that also settles the mind in knowing that I'm not just complaining about it. I'm not just perpetuating the conversation. I'm actually doing something. And I love what you said, the message of legacy, because that's huge. I mean, when you realize that you're one of the few parents who's actually out there going, not on my watch, you know, and that's a tough thing to do. It really is. But I think our kids see that. And then even though they may not, depending upon their age, teenagers are going to be like, oh, my God, you're annoying.
Oh, believe me. My daughter's like, Mom, again? The politics. Yeah.
I get the same thing. But now I look at my older daughter, and then even my son-in-law, he's brilliant with all this. And I look at them, and I think, wow, so the generation, you know, and then my youngest one, same thing. I mean, she's in a different environment, but when we're aligned, you know, I know that she's convicted, you know, which is really what you want. You want a kid that, because even there's studies, as you know, I'm sure that, you know, the kids that are targets are not kids that are family oriented and that are strong and convicted. And they're not. They're the kids that are lost and wandering and looking for some way to connect and
some way to belong. And you
totally
the wrong, you know, the wrong group.
You
and,
always do.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little tragic now. I think about when we grew up, it was like the punk rock phase and the goth phase and the skaterboard phase, you know, and all these different
tomboy
phase. Yeah. Tomboy phase. Right. But that's, we're talking about permanent, irreversible phases.
Yep. That's why this hat was made. Was because we were all tomboys.
Right.
I mean, I would rather be in the dirt riding my horse
than
I mean, but nobody wanted to tell me I was a boy, you know? And that's where I think the girls are really taking
a
beating on this.
Well, we have an industry, right? I mean, when you talk about like the military industrial complex, now you have this medical medicalization
gender
complex where there's so much money to be made. If you want to figure out why there's such a big issue with certain things, follow the money. I mean, it's real. If you want to do real research and real deep dive, figure out the money. I mean, it's money to be made. I mean, we're partnered with Gays Against Groomers. And
love those guys.
Yeah, Matt Ray, who is a trans man.
I know him.
Yeah, amazing. I'm friends with him. And he just did a video saying, if I knew what I knew now then, I would not have to, because now I'm a permanent patient. Mm-hmm. To the pharmaceutical
industry. For life. For life. Yeah. And those are the things that are not spoken mm-hmm. to families, to the kids, depending on how old they are. Right. And there's, you don't have that. If you're trying to solve a problem or just put a label on who you are, you're not looking at the long term. And that's where most people don't understand it. They're just like, well, they're dealing with this now.
Right.
You know, and even, I can't even remember what the complete statistics were, but it used to be more geared towards trans, was more geared towards men wanting to be women.
Yeah.
And now it's just teenage girls.
Oh, my God.
And it's like up 4,400%. If you've read...
Because you're talking about social engineering.
Yeah. Have you read Abigail Schreier's book, Irreversible Damage?
I haven't read the book, but I've heard some really great things about it.
And she talks about all that in there, the fact that it's a social contagion, you know? So, and I have parents that I get calls from all over the country. Mm-hmm. Are you a gender-affirming coach? Do you know? I'm like, no, look in your pants. Yeah. You know? I mean, because... And then you have the psychological part of it, of the environment that they're in, of where it's being built against them. And you have that natural rejection of teenager parent, you know, relationship. And it can be really touchy.
Yeah.
You know, it really can.
We get some really heartbreaking messages from parents. I mean, I have this one message from a mom whose son is transitioning to be a woman, but he's in his master's program at UC Berkeley. You know what I mean? She's like, there's no history of him having any gender dysphoria throughout his entire childhood.
They call it rapid onset gender dysphoria.
That's it, right? And so he goes into an environment where this is being peppered on him over and over and over again. And then to feel some sense of belonging, right? You start to, you know.
Trauma, there's no
trauma. Trauma, and peer pressure and all these things. And so, we get all these heartbreaking messages. I remember getting a message from a grandmother who says, it wasn't until I started following your pages that I think my grandson is being groomed by his mom and his other grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I don't know what to do. Do I tell my son? So I put her in touch with our partner organization, Our Duty, with Erin Friday, saying, they have a ton of resources. You know, I would connect with them because I'm not the expert in those areas and I'm not a therapist. I can't give out information.
But you have resources.
But I have resources. And, and that's what we try to tread carefully on. It's like people come to us for a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it's coming at us, you know.
Well, they're lost. I mean, I get that a lot too. I mean, I have a whole sustainable living resource of all kinds of different people.
That's
because
amazing.
Yeah, because you, it's like if I can't, I feel obligated to find something for you, to at least be able to answer some sort of a question and give you some sort of peace of mind, or at least say, here's an action item.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise you feel helpless.
Yeah.
When your kids are struggling, you feel helpless.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I mean, the message that I want to leave people with too is that, you know, when you empower yourself and you empower your loved ones around you, it has a ripple effect. It's going to change things. It might feel so tiny in the moment, you know, but you will see the impact that it can have. And you know, and I think we're just starting, you know, we're a little late to the game, you know, the other side's
I think your timing
for decades.
But you know what, though? I think the timing is perfect because I think if you would have done what you were doing years ago, they wouldn't have been ready for it.
Yeah.
You know, I always say that. I've always been a pioneer and a visionary on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And it's like almost like God's like, okay, we need you to get this experience here because you're going to be needed down the road.
You're being prepared.
Totally. And so I always tell people, but don't question the timing because, you know, every single thing, it's like, but it's been like that frog in the water I always talk about, like, you know, how we got here. But I go, but there are people that were prepared for this moment, as we know, you know, and if it would have been earlier or later, you know, it wouldn't have hit right. And then I don't think you would have been as effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so let me ask you this. Where can people find you? What can they, you know, kind of connect with you on? What is that? Like, tell them, like, where they find you, what you guys are up to, what you need. And more importantly, if they need to get in touch with you for whatever reason, is it just because, like you mentioned, they have all kinds of questions. But if someone wants to have a resource, I mean, you guys are great with that, you know, starting their own battalion or whatever that is.
Yeah. So, I mean, the quickest way to get a hold of us is through our website. It's mom-army.com. We were mostly on Instagram. We just started a Twitter account. At first, I was like a one-woman show, so it's just, you know how that goes.
Totally.
Like, you can't do everything.
Yeah.
But I have an incredible team of women who have risen up to really help build this and be a part of this. We have a team of 8 incredible women.
That's awesome.
That's on our team that's, like, working day in and day out on this.
Mm-hmm. Passion-driven.
Yeah, very passion-driven. Everything's volunteer-based right now. I would love to get to a place where we are a full-functioning organization.
Yeah.
We can pay salaries and we can, you know, really, you know, reward people for being part of this. But so on Instagram is the.momarmy and then the.dadarmy. And then on Instagram, I mean, on Twitter, same thing. But we're looking to spread out a little bit more to different platforms. You know, okay. We're talking about getting a YouTube channel. And also, we do have a YouTube channel. We just have to set it up. But, you know, Rumble and getting onto other platforms. But we're a member-based community. You know, we haven't officially launched the member base. We've kind of are building it out. But we want to provide all the resources and training and information. And so it's $8 a month to be part of Mom Army so that we can continue to function as
right,
an organization.
Right, right.
Pay the bills
exactly.
And pay the subscription. You know, you start something like this, you're like, oh, it's $14.99 to pay for Zoom, then it's $12.99 for Canva, and then it's, and you know, before you know it, you're like, oh my God, we're like $500 a month into this.
Yes.
And I mean, that's part of running a business, you
right,
know, and
right.
That's what we're looking at Mom Army as, is that it's a business, but we're a business that's very heart-driven and purpose-driven.
Right, right.
You know, and I think that that's where I feel like I shine the most. I like, you know, when it comes to, I never wanted to do anything that didn't align with my values and my purpose.
Yeah,
you know,
for
so
sure.
That's super important to me. But those are the places to find us.
And then what was the retreat you said? And we're going to put all this in the show notes.
Yeah, yeah, I'll send you all the information too. But our retreat is here in Scottsdale at Hotel Valley Ho.
Okay.
April 20th through the 23rd, so it's Thursday to Sunday.
Okay.
We have an incredible lineup of speakers and workshops and breakout sessions and panel discussions, but it's literally like an immersive experience to come and really activate and find your purpose. If you've been looking for a community like this, we welcome everybody. You know,
good.
But it's finding community, because a lot of times the biggest commonality we get from everyone is, gosh, I was feeling so alone for so long.
Yeah, you do. You feel like, I mean, you're standing and you're not sure where to connect at. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Thanks,
I appreciate
thanks for
it.
Having me.
Absolutely. And you guys, subscribe, like, do all the stuff that everybody tells you to do. We will have all this information in the show notes. How to get a hold of Mom Army, how to get a hold of Seek, Dad Army, and what's coming up on their calendar. So like us, subscribe to us, and we can't wait to see you guys next time. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on the TLM Method podcast. I hope that you've enjoyed the time that you've spent with us. And more importantly, I hope that we make you think. For more information about what we do, our work, and our message, please visit us at our website at officiallytracymartin.com, and that Tracy is T-R-A-C-E-Y, or you can find us on Instagram at officiallytracymartin. We look forward to having you with us for more episodes of the TLM Method podcast.